All offseason long, you guys have been asking for opponent previews. In typical Eric Kane fashion, I wait till the very end of the offseason, right before kickoff, to start that series. Opponent previews begins today here on Locked On Vols. Plus, two Tennessee football players rank inside ESPN's top 100 players entering the new season. Which two are they? I bet you can guess, but where do they rank? All that coming up here on a Thursday, Locked On Vols.
You are Locked On Vols, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into it. This is Locked On Vols, and I'm your host, Eric Kane. So glad that you guys elected to spend part of your Thursday with me here on the podcast, making it your first listen, your first watch on YouTube, and of course, wherever you find your podcast. You guys are so awesome. The numbers continue to grow. We are just a little shy of 300 till we get to 3,000. That's the goal here on YouTube before the start of the season. But of course, we want to get to 5,000 here before it's all said and done. Got a loaded show coming up today. Starting our scouting reports, our opponent previews. You guys have literally been asking all offseason long, and I just kept putting it off because other stuff got in the way or I kept forgetting about it. We're going to start it today. Today, we got to double up on some days because, you know, I'm not doing this on game day. I'm not doing this on kickoff. And I did the math yesterday, and if I was scheduling it out, I think the last one or maybe game 11 of the season was going to come up on kickoff, and I'm too busy to do episodes on the weekend. I wish I could, but not going to do that. So we're going to have to double up a little bit here to make sure we're clear of kickoff on September the 1st, but that's coming up today. So today, Bowling Green. Just kidding. That was last year. Today, Ball State and Pitt. We're going to get our scouting reports on both of those two teams entering the new season. And like I said, we're going to talk about that ESPN Top 100 ranking all coming up here on Locked On Vols. Subscribe, rate, review anywhere you find podcasts. You can find me on Twitter at _Kaner and at Locked On Vols. And I can't thank you guys enough for your support of this show. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. And I made my own notes here. We've discussed the most important games of the season. We discussed the toughest games on the schedule for this season. And now we're really going to dive into the nuts and the bolts and the jimmies and the joes and what make these teams kind of who they are. So a lot of stats, a lot of that type of work here in this type of preview. And I think a lot of you guys are kind of wanting it, some tangible stats you kind of cling on to. You know, well, this team is returning four or five starting offensive linemen. Well, this team has a 1,000-yard receiver returning. Both of those stats revolve around Tennessee, obviously. But that's kind of what this series is going to entail. So let's go ahead and dive into it. Scouting report, Ball State. That is week one. September the 1st is going to be on Thursday night, 7 o'clock on the SEC Network. Tennessee, as it stands right now, a 32-point favorite to beat Ball State on that opening night. They are the Ball State Cardinals. Head coach Mike New. This is his 7th season so far, and he has 28-41 record overall in 6 seasons. Now, despite a 6-7 record last year, he's in line to make 3 consecutive bowl games this season. So he's been bowling the last 2 years, obviously for Ball State. And in fact, in 2020, they were the MAC champions, a surprise champion of the MAC. That was back in 2020, but it all starts with the quarterback play. You know, this offense, it wasn't fantastic. They were 24.1 points per game last year was Ball State. That was 9th in the MAC, so not a great number there. And they lost their quarterback. So the projected starter at the quarterback position for Ball State, and remember, camp is still going on. Things can change. Injuries can happen. But as it stands right now, you're looking at senior John Paddock, who is set to take over the reins under center for the Cardinals of Ball State. In 2021, not many stats whatsoever, 18-26 passing, 132 yards, and no touchdowns. So not a whole lot of experience, a veteran, a guy that's been in college football for a while, but not a whole lot of playing experience for John Paddock, the expected starter for the Ball State Cardinals. At the wide receiver position, they bring back a couple of guys who were very productive last year, honestly. Their main go-to guys, Jason Jackson, 69 receptions, 829 yards and 5 touchdowns for their go-to wide receiver. And then their number two wide receiver, let's play the name game here. Yo Hines Taylor, big target, 6'3", 49 receptions in 2021, 487 yards, nearly 500 yards receiving, and 6 touchdowns. rushing the football was not good for Ball State in 2021. In fact, they just averaged 3.8 yards per carry in 2021, which was not good. They averaged 130 yards on the ground per game in 2021. That's not good. In fact, how bad was it? It was ninth best in the 12-team MAC. So running the football, not a strong suit for this offense. And obviously, it's just an offense that scored just 24 points per game in 2021. But in terms of returners at the running back position that will be expected to get carries against the University of Tennessee on September the 1st, you're going to have Carson Steele. He had 891 yard rushings and six touchdowns last season. All in all, that's not a bad stat line, to be completely honest. It's a little bit better than what Jabari Small had. Jabari Small had double-digit touchdowns, I believe, but Jabari Small did not have nearly 900 yards rushing because he wasn't on the field enough. Backing him up will likely be Will Jones. He had three touchdowns on 314 yards rushing. The offensive line does return two experienced offensive tackles up front, but it's an offensive line that lets go of the interior. There's much questions about the interior guard, and center. And this is a unit last season that only gave up 24 sacks on the season. That was second best in the MAC. So you're returning two edge players on the offensive line for a unit that was pretty good in terms of not giving up a sack last season, second best in the MAC. Again, closing remarks on the offense, 24.1 points per game, ninth best in the conference for Ball State in 2021. That is just not getting it done. Defensively, it's a team that gave up 28.4 points per game. Not great. It was fifth in the conference in that regard. It gave up 419 yards per game, and that was eighth in the conference in that regard. So, again, not fantastic numbers, but Tennessee's wasn't much better, if we're being completely honest, in those regards. They gave up 243 yards per game through the air. Not a very good unit in terms of defending the pass whatsoever. 243 yards through the air is a whole lot through the air on average per game. They do return a linebacker that had over 100 tackles in the middle, Clayton Cole, 108 tackles, 3.5 TFLs on the season. Their safety and Malcolm Lee had 50 tackles and two interceptions. So defensively, not a really good unit, and they don't return a lot either. Up front, you'll have Tavian Woodward, who did have five sacks and eight TFLs a season ago. They're expecting a lot from a transfer from Michigan State by the name of Kyle King. So you got Ball State. They were 6-7 in 2021. They lost a lot on defense. They were not very good on defense. They returned a linebacker, returned a pretty standout safety and a guy up front. They returned one impact player at each position. You look on offense, returned two starting offensive tackles for a unit that didn't give up sacks a season ago, which is pretty good. But the running game was not fantastic. And you got two guys returning in the passing game that was pretty good, but a quarterback that's very inexperienced. So Tennessee's favored by 32 points. We know how important this game is simply because it's the first one on the schedule. In terms of toughest games, I think I rated this one. I have to go back and check my notes. It was either, 12th or 11th. I mean, it was pushing dead last. I think the UT Martin game might have been last. But nonetheless, Ball State's not a very good football team. Spreads that are as large as 32 points, I always advise to stay away, because it's kind of a lose-lose either way. Like, if Tennessee blows them out, wins by 32 points, it's like, well, okay, yeah, there you go. You were supposed to. There's not much juice on that line, right? But if they don't, and they could still win by 28 points or 30 points or, hell, even 31 points, it's like, oh, well, Tennessee didn't cover the spread, though. So I always advise, and again, I'm not a handicapper, I always advise to stay away from spreads that are that large. So that's kind of my advice. That's my rundown of Ball State week one for Tennessee, September the 1st. Again, it's going to be on the SEC Network, and it'll start at 7:00 at Neyland Stadium. That's your scouting report for week one, Tennessee versus Ball State. And we're going to get to Pittsburgh and give you a preview. We know how important that game is, but who are the Panthers? We'll discuss when Locked On Vols returns here in a moment. But first, a message from NHTSA. You're hanging out with some friends. You're putting back a few beers. A few becomes too many. As the evening comes to an end and people start to head out, you start thinking about a ride. And you're like, nah, I live nearby. I can make it home okay. That's no big deal. What are the odds you're going to get pulled over anyway? And even so, what's the worst that can happen? Your insurance goes up. You lose your license. You lose your job. You total your car. You kill someone. Everyone knows about the risk of driving drunk. The results are tragic and often deadly. However, that still doesn't stop everyone from getting behind the wheel while under the influence. That's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on the roads to save lives. So If you think you're okay to drive after a few drinks, think again. Play it safe, plan ahead, and get a ride. I mean, guys, Uber is right on your phone. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of Uber, Lyft. Call a friend. Hell, call me. It only takes one mistake to change your life or someone else's forever. Drive sober or get pulled over. Guys, I want to thank you so much for making Locked On Vols your first listen each and every day, your first watch on YouTube. The ultimate college football preview is here. It's a 7-episode preview with college experts, local team experts, and the Odyssey College Football Insiders. It's everything you need to be ready for the college football season, all in one spot. All you need to do is search for the ultimate college football preview on your Odyssey app, YouTube, or wherever you find your podcast. Getting into our scouting reports, our opponent previews here on Locked On Vols, something a lot of you guys have been asking for. Would have been great filler for the month of May and June and July, but here I am towards the end of August, right before kickoff, and we're just now getting into it, but better late than never. And I think it's a nice, you know, even if I did it already, it would be a nice refresher because, you know, these games are coming right up, just right around the corner. We talked Ball State in segment one. Let's go to arguably the most important football game on the schedule this season for Tennessee. I ranked it as the third most important football game on the schedule for Tennessee this year. It's going to be one of the tougher football games on the schedule for Tennessee this year as well. Week two, it's Tennessee at Pittsburgh at the good old legendary Acrisure Stadium, right? They renamed Heinz Field to Acrisure Stadium. September the 10th, it's a Saturday, Tennessee's first Saturday game. It's going to be a 3:30 kick. It's going to be aired on ABC, and depending on which window you shop at, I know BetOnline's got Tennessee as a favorite as well. Tennessee's sitting around a 3 or a 4-point favorite. Three is pretty much a pick 'em, right? Because you give the home team 3 points, but in this favor, a lot of books have Tennessee as a 3-point, 3.5-point favorite. That means Tennessee really is favored by a touchdown, but there are some analysts that will favor Pitt in this game, and this line might move a little bit as well. But, you know, most books are sitting around Tennessee being a favorite anywhere from a pick'em to a 3, 3.5, somewhere around there. Last year, of course, Tennessee fell at home by a score of 41-34. Tennessee, you think they want some revenge in this game? Absolutely. We know about the success that Pitt had last season. 11-3 overall record, ACC champions. Pat Narduzzi's best season ever. He will never, ever have a better season than what he had in 2021. This is now he's entering his 8th season at Pitt. I think he's a solid football coach. I think he's a defensive-minded football coach that is not very innovative on the offensive end. It took Kenny Pickett, who we'll get to in a moment, to really, you know, take it. And Kenny Pickett, a Heisman-like season to get Pitt over the hump of 10 wins or 11 wins. I know I've seen some people calling for Pitt to win 10 games this year. I don't see it, but we didn't see it last year. So let's find out more about the Panthers right here. Obviously, some devastating losses on the offensive side. Kenny Pickett, now in the NFL, playing for the Steelers. Jordan Addison, now at USC, Southern Cal, transfers out. Of course, he was the Blitnikoff Award winner. And you also lose offensive coordinator Mark Whipple. And I don't understand this. I haven't played the audio. We haven't talked about it on the show because we cover Tennessee. And I know Tennessee plays Pitt, but you know, that's not really in our wheelhouse. But, I mean, Pat Narduzzi's been critical, really critical of his former offensive coordinator, Mark Whipple, because he was not innovative, because he wanted to throw it all over the place. Two reasons, I got on that. Two reactions, I guess. You're going to be, you know, Pat Narduzzi, you're going to be critical of your former offensive coordinator. Are you mad because he left? Or are you mad because he didn't protect your defense? And I know that's a very blah, blah answer, old school defensive guy, yada, yada. But think about it. Pat Narduzzi is an old school coach. He's a defensive coach, and you want to protect your defense. Throwing it all over the ball yards, not protecting your defense, right? It's not taking your defense into consideration. Is that why you're mad? You know, what's the issue? Are you mad because he left, or are you mad because he didn't protect your defense? Regardless, it's because of him and his coaching that got Kenny Pickett to grow up and Jordan Addison to blossom, that you had an 11-win season and you won the ACC. So I don't get what Pat Narduzzi's beef is with his former offensive coordinator. Maybe it was something behind the scenes. Maybe he said he was going to stay and coach more, and then he left. I don't know. But I think it's pretty comical that Pat Narduzzi is giving Mark Whipple a bad rap here, because without him, your butt would have never had a double-digit win season. Nonetheless, they do bring in Frank. Let's try this out here. They bring in Frank Cignetti Jr. from Boston College, who also has NFL coaching experience. He is now the new offensive coordinator for Pitt, but in 2021 offensively, one of the best offensive teams in the entire country, 41.4 points per game, third in the country, 486 yards per game, eighth in the country. We saw a little bit of that on display back in week two of last season. New quarterback stepping in for Kenny Pickett. You have Jordan Addison, the wide receiver, transferring from Pitt to USC. And now you have Keaton Slovis of Southern Cal transferring from USC to Pitt. It's kind of funny how that worked out. Not a very great last 2 years, but as a freshman, he was dynamite. And told in all, three seasons at USC for Keaton Slovis, 7,576 yards and 58 passing touchdowns, again, in three seasons at Southern Cal. I think he's a fine quarterback. I think that he is a very good backup plan to Kenny Pickett with Kenny Pickett leaving, if that makes sense. Do I think Keaton Slovis is Kenny Pickett? Absolutely not. Keaton Slovis is not Kenny Pickett, nor will he ever be. But it's a pretty, it's a nice little, compository pick, if you will. They do bring back, of course, Jordan Addison's left, so a huge void of wide receiver. No more Biletnikoff Award winner wide receiver. You do bring back Jared Wayne, who's a big target, 6'3", 210. He had 47 receptions, 658 yards, and six touchdowns. As I go down this list of some players returning, you might remember some of those names again because Tennessee, of course, played Pitt last year in week two. They have a transfer from Akron, Kaneda Mumpfield, I believe is how you say his name. 61 receptions, 751 yards, eight touchdowns as a true freshman at Akron last season. We're going to expect a bigger role from their tight end, Gavin Bartholomew. We know how to say that name because Tennessee's had a couple of Bartholomews back in their football family. 28 receptions, four touchdowns a season ago. I expect more things from Gavin Bartholomew this year for Pitt. Offensive line, though, here's where it is. That offensive line returns five starters from a year ago. So no more Kenny Pickett, no more Jordan Addison. But you return, you supplement a nice little quarterback in there, Keaton Slovis. You bring back some experience at receiver, add to it. Five offensive linemen return from last season. Experience. Now, in the run game, no running back was fantastic for Pitt last year. There are no all-conference players in here, but they had a trio of running backs that each recorded over 100 attempts in terms of 100 carries last season. You have Israel Abenkaneda, I couldn't say his name last year, can't say it now, 123 attempts, 651 yards, seven touchdowns. You have Vincent Davis, 142 attempts, 621 yards, four touchdowns. You have Rodney Hammond Jr., 102 attempts, 504 yards, five touchdowns. So you go seven touchdowns, four touchdowns, five touchdowns, 5.3 yards per carry, 4.2 yards per carry, 4.9 yards per carry, 651 yards, 621 yards, 504 yards, 123 carries, 123 carries, 142 carries, and 102 carries. You talk about sharing the load in the backfield. All those guys are saying, you get some, you get some, you get some, but all those guys return. So you lose a lot on offense, but you also return a lot on offense. Pitt will be dangerous on the offensive end, no doubt. All right. Where Pitt will really be dangerous is defensively. Pitt's defense in 2021, 89.6 rushing yards allowed per game. That was sixth nationally. 353.6 yards per game. That was 39th in the country. They had a top 40 defense. The defense had six players who garnered all ACC selections in 2021. They return, again, six players who garnered all conference honors in the ACC on that side of the football. So it is going to be a challenge, no doubt. Defensive tackle Kalijah Cansey, seven sacks, 13 TFLs. Defensive end Habukuk Baldonaldo, nine sacks, 12 tackles for loss. Linebacker, Kyle, they have such weird names. You guys know how I am with words anyway. Sir Osia Dennis, a team high 87 tackles at linebacker, four sacks, nine TFLs. And he's really the only sure thing at linebacker, though. They lost a lot of linebacker. He's the only sure thing at linebacker, and he led the team in tackles a season ago. You also have the secondary that was not great, okay? They were not great against the pass, and it's kind of shocking because they were so good at rushing the passer. Get this. In 2021, the secondary gave up 264 yards passing a game, which from the Ball State preview, we know that's not good. So that secondary for Pitt gave up over 260 yards passing a game. That was 12th in the ACC. But it's interesting because they ranked second in the country in sacks. They got after the passer. They disrupted the passer, but they still allowed so many passing yards per game. That is a stat that sometimes you see stats that make no sense. That stat right there makes no sense for me. They pretty much return everyone in the secondary, so they return a lot of players. But again, you know, that was not a very good secondary unit a season ago. One standout in Brandon Hill at safety. So I keep saying Tennessee, I keep saying Pitt's a game where you just got to go up and win it. Just got to go up and win it. And I still agree with that. You got to go up and win that football game. You got to. But it's not going to be a gimme. Pitt's going to be a tough and challenging opponent. But I still think the way Tennessee is comprised, the way Tennessee will go, Tennessee can go out there and pick up a week two victory and come back to Neyland Stadium 2-0 with a first true road game win under their belt 2 weeks into the season. That's how I see it playing out. We will see. But that is your scouting report on Pitt, Tennessee's week two opponent, September the 10th, first Saturday game, 3:30 in the afternoon at the infrastructure formerly known as Heinz Field, ABC, where Tennessee right now is sitting as a small favorite per most windows. All right, we will continue to dive into the scouting reports, dive into the opponent previews as the week goes on. We'll try to get one, maybe two tomorrow. We'll see. But also, we got a meeting with John Garcia tomorrow as well. So that's what you have to look forward to coming up tomorrow. But hey, coming up in segment three, we still got one more segment of this show. The best players in college football this season, ESPN put out their top 100 list. How many Vols, where do they rank, and where's the beef? We're going to tell you all that and more coming up here next on Locked On Vols. But first, I was telling you about the lines and how Tennessee's favored in some of these games. You know where I go. My go-to is betonline.net. Fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find out all your favorite sports and events at the number one source for all of your odds, lines, and games. Find reviews and news for every single league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf, both PGA and LIV. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, podcasts. They've got you covered. Head on over to the website today. That is betonline.net, or you can use your mobile device to learn about all the latest trends and all the action happening today. BetOnline.net, it is where the game starts. All right, boys and girls, we got one final segment left here on a Thursday edition of Locked On Vols. Can't thank you enough for hanging out with me here today. We're running behind the sticks a little bit, so we're going to get right into it. So, the top 100 players ranked in the country for college football season 2022 per ESPN. This is an ESPN ranking. No surprise at the top, you got two Alabama players. I've been saying it for 2 years. I've continued to say it. A lot of you guys don't like that I say it, but Will Anderson Jr., Alabama linebacker, the best football player in college football, no matter what. ESPN agrees with me. He's at number one. Bryce Young, quarterback, reigning Heisman Trophy winner, is at number two. C.J. Stroud, quarterback of Ohio State, comes in at three. And so, you know, the top three is pretty much a given, right? You do have the wide receiver, Jackson Smith, Nigba. I think that's how you say his last name. I don't know. The wide receiver from Ohio State that went off last year, over 1,600 yards receiving. He's at number four. You have the running back from Texas, Robinson, at number five. Jalen Carter, defensive tackle for Georgia. You knew a defender from Georgia was going to be up there towards the top. He's at number six. You have Travion Henderson, the running back from Ohio State that went for 15 touchdowns and over 1,200 yards rushing a season ago. He's at number seven. Georgia tight end Brock Bowers comes in at number eight. Jordan Addison, formerly of Pitt, now at USC, as we all know very well, comes in at number nine. At number 10, the quarterback, Caleb Williams, formerly of Oklahoma, now at Southern Cal, comes in at number 10. Let's cut to the chase right here, okay? Where does Tennessee's players come in? Who is on this list? Where do they come in? Let's go ahead and scroll down. Let's find it. We're going through, you know, 10 through 20. Some names jump out at you. Keyshawn Boutte, LSU wide receiver at 11. You've got Keely Ringo, the cornerback from Georgia's at 14. You continue on down the list right here. I mean, you got names. Jahmyr Gibbs, formerly of Georgia Tech, now at Alabama, the running back. He comes in at 20. Sam Hartman, quarterback of Wake Forest, it's at 21. Continuing to scroll. You're thinking you're going to see Hendon Hooker here sooner or later. Tyler Van Dyke, quarterback of Miami, is at 25. Will Rogers, Mississippi State, still no Hendon Hooker. Will Rogers is at 27. You've got KJ Jefferson, quarterback of Arkansas, is at 32. Will Levis, quarterback at Kentucky, is at 33. Surely to goodness, I've missed Hendon Hooker, right? No, I haven't. You continue to go on. You've got Grayson McCall, quarterback of Coastal Carolina. He's at 35. My guy, Bumper Poole, linebacker of Arkansas, is at 39. Nolan Smith,
linebacker at Georgia's 40, C-Rod, Chris Rodriguez, running back of Kentucky's at 41. You just continue to go on. Tank Bigsby, running back at Auburn's at 42. Stetson Bennett is on this list at 44. Where is Hendon Hooker? I promise I'm getting to you here in just a moment, maybe. Quarterback at Georgia, Stetson Bennett at number 44. Continue to go all the way down the list. And then finally, you see Hendon Hooker coming in at number 49. Hendon Hooker comes in at number 49, coming off a season of 2,945 yards passing, 31 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. Okay, so as you can see from my tone and how many quarterbacks I listed ahead of Hendon Hooker, I think that's a little bit too low. Let's look at the stat sheet, shall we? ESPN releases their top 100 college football players. They have 13 QBs ahead of Hendon Hooker. Quick recap: Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Caleb Williams, all those guys in the top 10. Devin Leary, Sam Hartman, Tyler Van Dyke, Will Rogers, KJ Jefferson, Will Levis, Grayson McCall, Stetson Bennett, Malik Cunningham, Cameron Rising, and then you've got Hendon Hooker at number 49. You've got 13 quarterbacks. My phone will not stop vibrating. I apologize. You have 13 quarterbacks ahead of Hendon Hooker. Seems to me that's just a little too low. I mean, I get it to an extent, but it's a little too low. I mean, again, you have the likes of Will Levis ahead of him. Will Levis has done nothing in college, especially nothing compared to what Hendon Hooker did a season ago. You've got KJ Jefferson, who I think is a fine player, but Hendon Hooker outplayed him last season. So what's going on there? Will Rogers, stat base, I understand it. I mean, guy completed 75% of his passes and threw for nearly 5,000 yards last year and had 36 touchdowns. I get it. But goodness gracious, Hendon Hooker should have been up there a little bit higher. But okay, so there's Hendon Hooker at 49. All right, so, you know, is there going to be another Tennessee player? Maybe a Cedric Tillman coming up here anytime soon. Henry Tuol-Tuol, former Tennessee linebacker. He's at number 54. And guys, I'm pretty sure as I look at my other monitor here, if you're looking at YouTube, I think they used Henry T's headshot for when he was at Tennessee. I'm pretty sure that's an orange tie. That's embarrassing. Continue to go on. No Cedric Tillman in the 50s. Oh, here we go. At number 60. Comes in Cedric Tillman. I mean, that's about right. I don't really have much beef with Cedric Tillman coming in at number 60. He had 1,081 yards a season ago and 12 touchdowns. A really, really talented player. A chance to, you know, do that, maybe even more, add on even more this upcoming season. But I don't really have much of a beef with Cedric Tillman at number 60. You have Hendon Hooker at 49. You have Cedric Tillman at number 60. And there are no other Tennessee football players that come in ESPN's top 100 list of players entering the 2022 season. I searched for Byron Young. He's not in there. I searched for Tyler Barron. He's not in there. I searched for, really, those are the only Darnell Wright I searched for. He's not in there. And I mean, I thought Byron Young might crack this list, but he did not. I'm not surprised, but he didn't. Not much beef there either. Tennessee's most explosive player came on at the end of the season, but from a stats perspective, his first year in the SEC, he didn't really do much overall. Tyler Barron would not be on this list, but I searched his name anyway. Darnell Wright. But other than those guys, I don't think Tennessee would. I mean, Jeremy Banks, maybe, but he's not on this list. So Cedric Tillman at 60 and Hendon Hooker at 49. Hooker should have been ranked higher. He really should have, especially with some of the other quarterback plays that were listed in front of him. Again, Bryce Young, I get it. CJ Stroud, I get it. Caleb Williams is so overrated, but I guess from a name perspective and popularity, I get it. Devin Leary, all right. Sam Hartman, you had a season last year, accounted for over 50 touchdowns, but you're going to miss part of the season. Tyler Van Dyke, I mean, come on. He was a freshman last year, right? Had a nice year, but, I mean, we're overhyping him a little bit. Will Rogers, I get it. KJ Jefferson, nope. Will Levis, nope. Grayson McCall, I get it. Stetson Bennett, he's a winner. He's underrated, but nope. Malik Cunningham, nope. And Cameron Rising, nope. Hendon Hooker should have been ranked all ahead of those guys. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. We're gonna run out of time. But for all these publications to come out with lists and lists and lists, because kickoff is just now 2 weeks away. We are 14 days away, Eric Berry days away from football time in Tennessee. And that is what I think about that list from ESPN, college football's top 100 players for the season of 2022. All right, that is going to do it here for this edition of Locked On Vols. Guys, can't thank you enough for hanging out with me here today. Please subscribe. Please rate, review, comment, throw a heart, little thumbs up guy, comments on the YouTube side. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please write me a positive review. Rate me 5 stars. all that stuff goes so long. It goes a long way, guys, and I really, really do appreciate it. Like I said, we'll get back into a scouting report, opponent preview, maybe one, maybe two tomorrow, but we're going to talk to John Garcia as well. So we're really, really looking forward to that. All that and more coming up on tomorrow's show. All right, guys, Locked On Vols is your first listen. Make Locked On SEC your second listen every single day with Chris Gordy right behind Locked On Vols. That's Locked On SEC. If you're new to the show, hope you enjoyed it. Hope you come back tomorrow, pull up a chair. We'll do it again. Same time, same place. This is Locked On Vols, and enjoy the rest of your Thursday, everybody.